Our brother has taken the time to prepare himself to search the scriptures and approach the Lord in prayer. And I'd ask now that if you've not done so, and even if you have, to reinforce that, that as much as you can, try to put aside those thoughts and cares and concerns that so easily cloud our thoughts and our minds, and open yourself up to receptive for the word and the instruction of life that we're about to receive. And so I'd ask at this time that you give to our brother your careful and your prayerful attention, our brother and our pastor, Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Glenn. It is good to see each one of you here this evening. I want to start by reading a couple of verses in Alma, chapter 17. We're going to read verses 66 and 67, and this is on page 441. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart. For such shall find rest to their souls. This gives us several things here that we are to teach. Several things for the well-being of the soul. That we're to never be weary of good works. Continually doing good works. That we're to teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil. That can be a hard one, can it? But an important one. Repentance. We know how important repentance is to our spiritual life. Faith. We must have faith on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be lowly in heart, meek and lowly in heart. But the one I want to focus on tonight is to teach them to humble themselves. Humility. That is the title of my sermon tonight. You know, humble people, they're the ones who will find grace in the eyes of the Lord. But before I want to go into humility, first I want to talk a little bit about pride, which we know that pride is the absolute opposite, isn't it, of humility. And this pride can lead to destruction. Completely opposite of humility. And we see evidence of pride everywhere. Everywhere in the world. Let me read the definition of pride. Lofty, high, lifted up, a braggart, boasting, appearing above others. Inordinate self-esteem, conceit, arrogant behavior or conduct, vanity, an exaggerated idea of one's importance, excessive desire to be noticed or praised by others. We can see examples of this all around us today, especially in the media. An exaggerated idea of one's importance. So common today in the world, and especially in America. It's a big problem in the world. We're going to read some examples of people that were lifted up in pride. And then we will read some examples of some people that were humble. And we'll see what the results were. Of those people who were lifted up in pride and those people that were humble. And as I said earlier, you know, humility and pride are direct opposites. And we're going to see from the scriptures that we read that the results also are direct opposites. Of what happens to proud people, and what happens to humble people. I want to first read in Alma chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. This is on page 311. And we're going to read here some things. The results of pride. And it came to pass in the eighth year of the reign of Judges that the people of the church began to wax proud because of their exceeding riches and their fine silks and their fine twine linen. We see here what's happening, don't we? That the church began to wax proud. And as we read on, we'll see the reasons here. And because of their many flocks and herds, and their gold and their silver, and all manner of precious things, which they had obtained by their industry. And in all these things, they were lifted up in the pride of their eyes, for they began to wear costly apparel. They were thinking highly of themselves, weren't they? An exaggerated idea of their importance. Lifted up in pride because of their riches. Let's skip down to verse 13. We'll read 13 through 17. For they saw and beheld with great sorrow that the people of the church began to be lifted up in the pride of their eyes, and to set their hearts upon riches and upon the vain things of the world. In other words, they turned away from the Lord. They were no longer humble. And they began to be scornful one towards another. And they began to persecute those that did not believe according to their own will and pleasure. And thus, in the eighth year of the reign of the judges, there began to be great contentions among the people of the church. Yea, there were envyings and strifes and malice and persecutions and pride, even to exceed the pride of those who did not belong to the church of God. And thus ended the eighth year of the reign of judges. And the wickedness of the church was a great stumbling block to those who did not belong to the church. And thus the church began to fail in its progress. The church was failing because they were lifted up in pride. And it talks about here about their wickedness and the wickedness of the church. You know, pride and wickedness go hand in hand. We've seen it all through time. That when people are no longer humble, when they let pride take over their life, it leads them to destruction. We see the results of it here. There's many examples in the Book of Mormon where the people go back and forth. They'll be a humble people, and then they'll let pride enter in. And these are people of the church. These are God's people. It's not just the people out in the world. It's a warning to us, too. We're not immune to pride. We have to be cautious of it. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The scripture that we just read in Alma, those people, they were loving the world, weren't they? And the things of the world, the things that the world could provide to them, those great riches, fine clothes. It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Pretty strong words, isn't it? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. These are things of the world. Pride is something of the world. It's not of the Father. It's not of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was not proud when he was here, was he? He was humble. A humble man, meek and lowly, a poor man. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. These things that people are lifted up in pride about, they're great possessions. They'll all be gone. They'll all disappear. We know that this earth will disappear. There will be a new heaven, a new earth. All these things will be gone. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That is what will last. Our humility, our love, our service, our good works, being meek and lowly in heart. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5, we read, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." Those are pretty strong words, aren't they? Pretty strong words. A pretty strong warning, isn't it, to the world? Those that are proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. In Proverbs 16:18, we read, "Pride goeth before destruction." And how true that is. How true that is. We've seen it happen time and time again. How many times have we seen it in the Bible and the Book of Mormon where righteous people were destroyed because they allowed themselves to be lifted up in pride and to fall away from the desires of the Lord and not be a humble people? You know, there's four words I have here that kind of go hand in hand. And pride is one of them. And the other three are greed and power and lust. Those four words kind of work together. They go hand in hand. They've led people to destruction time and time again. But we know greed and lust and the lust for power. Those are all in there with pride. Can be very dangerous. Very dangerous. And we're not immune. We're not immune to these things. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi, chapter 11, verses 61 through 69. This is on page 144. We're going to see another example here of what happened to a people that were lifted up in pride. This is a different time. A different time in history, but we've seen it repeated time and time again. And this is, you know, my Book of Mormon says it's between 559 B.C. and 545 B.C. And this is prophesying about the time of Christ. Of Christ's crucifixion. Let's read here what it says. And after that the Messiah shall come, there shall be signs given unto my people of his birth, and also of his death and resurrection. And great and terrible shall that day be unto the wicked, for they shall perish. And they perish because they cast out the prophets and the saints, and stone them and slay them. Wherefore, the cry of the blood of the saints shall ascend up to God from the ground against them. Wherefore, all they that are proud and that do wickedly, the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, for they shall be as stubble. We see here these two words here, proud and wicked, went hand in hand, didn't they? This is what happened to the proud and the wicked. So you see, when we're lifted up in pride, you see what category that puts us in. And they that kill the prophets and the saints, the depths of the earth shall swallow them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And mountains shall cover them, and whirlwinds shall carry them away, and buildings shall fall upon them, and crush them to pieces, and grind them to powder. And they shall be visited with thunderings and lightnings, and earthquakes, and all manner of destructions. And the fire of the anger of the Lord shall be kindled against them, and they shall be as stubble. And the day that cometh shall consume them, saith the Lord of hosts. And we know that this took place at Christ's crucifixion. Many people were destroyed. Whole cities disappeared, didn't they? Sunk into the ocean. These proud and wicked people, they were destroyed. Let's turn over to 3rd Nephi. Chapter 7, verses 34 through 38. This is on page 646. And these are Christ's words. Predicting things to happen in the future. And thus commandeth the Father, that I should say unto you, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel, and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations, and above all the people of the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lyings and deceits, and of mischief, and all manner of hypocrisy, and murders, and priestcrafts, and whoredoms, and of secret abominations. We see all these things that are listed here. What did they say first? Shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts. And then it talks about all these other abominations, lyings, deceits, mischiefs, hypocrisy, murders, priestcrafts, whoredoms, secret combinations. They were lifted up in pride. And let these things come into their life. Verse 35, and if they shall do all these things and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. And then will I remember my covenant, which I have made unto my people, O house of Israel. And I will bring my gospel unto them. And I will shew unto thee, O house of Israel, that the Gentiles shall not have power over you, but I will remember my covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and ye shall come unto the knowledge of the fullness of my gospel. And if the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. We have come forward to today. This is talking about today, the day that we live in. And we are seeing these things as we speak. We are seeing the people in this nation being lifted up in pride. And it says, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. We are seeing that today. We are seeing this nation turn away from God, turn away from the truth. And we are seeing this gospel taken to the house of Israel. That is happening as we speak. This is the day that we live in. A warning to this nation. We are seeing this fulfilled as I speak today. But there is hope in that verse 38. But if the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. That is talking about us. We are numbered among his people, the members of the Church of Christ. We are his people. And if we don't allow ourselves to be lifted up in pride, but to remain humble, we will continue to be his people. And we will be the ones who take this gospel to the house of Israel and to other Gentiles. This is the day that we are living in. In Alma chapter 3, verse 50, we read, Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not prepared to meet God. Are we stripped of pride? More strong words, isn't it? If we are not stripped of pride, we are not prepared to meet God. We need to be a humble people. We need to work on it daily. And not allow ourselves to be lifted up in pride. It's not always easy in this nation. Not always easy. Because the nation really pretty much tells you just the opposite. This nation is turning away from God. Let's look at humility. The definition of humility. The quality or condition of being humble. Modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance. Not proud or arrogant, lowliness, meekness, submissive, unpretentious, unpretending, plain, modest, common. Kind of describes our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, doesn't it? He is our example. He is the one that we are to follow after. But we can see how this definition is directly opposite of what I read about pride. So we need to work on humility every day in our lives. You know, there's a saying, I don't know if I know I've heard this saying. I don't know if it's in a song or what, but it says it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Is that in a song? Does anybody know? Where have I heard that?
It's a song.
It's a song. Okay. You know what? There is some truth in that. And I'm not saying that these people are perfect. But you know what? Some of these famous people, movie stars, athletes, people are telling them they are perfect. They are telling them that. They're not. We know they're not. But when people tell you that time and time again, and when people worship you, we see many people today in the world that are worshiped because they have high status. You know what? It's going to be harder for them people to be humble, isn't it? It's going to be hard. It would have been hard to have been Elvis Presley. It would have been hard to have lived that life when he couldn't go anywhere without being mobbed, held up, called the king. I know there was times when he corrected people that said he was not the king, that Jesus Christ was the king. But it would have been easy for him to have believed that, wouldn't it? That he was the king. And I know none of us are rich and famous. But we still live in this nation that still leans towards those things. Tells us that we have a right. We have a right to be rich. In many instances, tells us that we are better than other people. As Americans, we are better. False teachings. We have to be careful of those things. Not get caught up in them. Let's read some scriptures on humility. Let's start with James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. We see here how God views the humble and the proud. It says God resisteth the proud. That means he opposes the proud. He is against the proud. But giveth grace unto the humble. He gives them favor. It's kind of like choosing up teams, isn't it? You got the proud team and the humble team. And I guess we know who the leaders of each of those are, don't we? We know that Satan is the leader of the proud team. And that God is the leader of the humble team. And we choose each day which team we're on. Let's look in 1 Nephi chapter 3, 152 through 157. This is on page 34. And we're going to go back in time again a few hundred years, to the beginning of this nation. And we'll see the results of a humble people. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles, which had gone forth out of captivity, did humble themselves before the Lord. Remember that. Did humble themselves before the Lord. And the power of the Lord was with them. As we read on here, we're going to see that these people humbled themselves, and the power of God was with them. And I beheld that their mother Gentiles were gathered together upon the waters, and upon the land also to battle against them. And I beheld that the power of God was with them, and also that the wrath of God was upon all them that were gathered together against them to battle. God was with this humble people. He was with them, and he was against everyone else. Everyone else that opposed them, he was against. And I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles, which had gone out of captivity, were delivered by the power of God out of the hands of all other nations. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that they did prosper in the land. And we know that this is talking about the beginning of this nation. About this people, this nation, our pilgrim fathers, these humble people. Were separating themselves from England. And we know that God was on their side. Because in any kind of battle plan, they didn't have a chance, did they? They didn't have a chance. England, the most powerful navy in the world. But a bunch of ragtag people, humble people. But they had God on their side, and they were able to gain their independence. And we are in that same situation today, that if this nation would remain humble, there's no other power on earth that could defeat them. Because God would be on their side. It would be impossible to defeat them. Impossible. You know, and to the world, that doesn't make sense, does it? How anything could be impossible. But when God is on your side, it is impossible to be defeated. But as we see this nation being lifted up in pride, it is no longer impossible, is it, for this nation to be defeated? Really, the destiny of this nation is in our hands. But it's everybody's hands, isn't it? If this nation would become humble and turn back to God, we know that God would be with them. But we also know, even if this nation won't humble themselves and turn back to God, that as long as we remain humble, that God will be with us. He will protect us. He will preserve us. As long as we are his people, as long as we remain humble, as long as we follow after him. Let's turn over to Mosiah, chapter 2, 16 through 22. This is on page 220. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them. We must repent of our sins and forsake them. We know that, don't we? And see what it says next. And humble yourselves before God. and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. We see how important being humble is, don't we? We know that we must repent of our sins and forsake them. We know that. And then there's an and there. And humble yourselves. They go hand in hand. We must be a humble people. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. We must be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. We must be a doer. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness, and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causeth such exceedingly great joy in your souls. Even so, I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long suffering towards you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you, that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. We see that being humble is a critical element of our spiritual life. We know that there are several, don't we? There are several critical elements of our spiritual life. But this is one of them. Humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily. God will help us. He is faithful to be there if we're struggling. He will help us with whatever our problems are in life. He will be there with us to lead us, to guide us. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Pretty strong words again, aren't they? Unless we become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We must become as a little child. Let's read in Mosiah. Chapter 1, verses 118 through 120. This is on page 217. But men drink damnation to their own souls, except they humble themselves. We see how important, again, don't we? Being humility, a humble person is. They drink damnation to their souls, except they humble themselves, and become as little children, and believe that salvation was and is to come in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. We know this, that the natural man is an enemy to God. And it's easy for that natural man to be lifted up in pride. So it's something we need to be aware of and to watch out for. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child. We're going to see what that's talking about now. To become as a child. And remember what we read back in Matthew. That unless you become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now let's see here the things he's talking about. To becometh as a little child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. As a child of God, we must submit our will to him. Be willing to endure all things that he seeth fit to inflict upon us. Be submissive to the will of our Lord. To be a meek people, humble, a humble people, not lifted up in pride, patient, full of love. These are the things that our Lord and Savior requires of us to be his children. Let's turn over to Ether, chapter 5. Verse 28, this is on page 748. I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. God gives unto us weakness. That we may be humble. That we may not be lifted up in pride. We can see this today as this gospel goes forth, that we are weak mortals. And we can see the hand of God in this, in spreading this gospel. I know the missionaries can see it very clearly that this is God's work. And He is doing this work. And we are assisting Him. But we would not be able to do it without Him. Not be able to do it. Man has weaknesses, but they can be made strong in Jesus Christ. Let's go over to verse 38. And because thou hast seen thy weakness, thou shalt be made strong, even unto the sitting down in the place which I have prepared in the mansions of my Father. That is the reward that awaits a humble people. A people that are willing to follow after our Lord and Savior. To submit to His will. To be meek and lowly. We must submit our lives to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to work daily on being a humble people. That we might do the will of the Lord. I know there is a great work to do in these last days. And I know that each one of us can be part of that. If we will not be lifted up in pride and humble our hearts and submit our wills to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.